Blog Talk Radio.
Sweet little Jesus, boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, didn't know who you are. Didn't know you'd come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away.
Good evening, precious saints. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven. That was George Beverly Shays with that magnificent song, Sweet Little Jesus Boy. Sweet Little Jesus Boy, Christmas season. So many don't understand why Jesus came. So many. Well, I'm looking forward to a great Sunday service tomorrow. The children are going to be putting on their Christmas play, and I'm praying for those little tykes, and I'm rooting for them, and I just can't wait to see those little celestial thespians playing their little parts. And what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to have a church filled with children who love and worship their Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's open up our Bibles to Romans chapter 16, Romans 16, 17, and our scripture text for this week. It reads, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them, and avoid them. Heavenly Father, again, what an honor, what a privilege, what a blessing to have access to your word. Holy Spirit, give us understanding. Holy Spirit, guide us to all truth. Holy Spirit, we submit to your tutelage. Oh, how we need you, Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, Spirit of truth, Spirit of instruction, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of knowledge and wisdom. Oh, Holy Spirit, grant us, your servants, illumination, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we have seen, this is a text in which the apostle warns the wonderful church of Rome of the danger that lurks ahead. He says, now, brethren, I beseech you, I call you to my side, that I may give you sound instruction. You, my precious brethren, my brothers and sisters in Christ, keep an eye out for those who seek to divide and conquer the flock, and those who will do what? And those who provide offenses. Offenses. We left off yesterday talking about offenses or escandalon. People who will put a snare in front of you, and not just a snare, a baited snare. They will find out your weakness, and they will bait the trap in hopes of luring you in and bringing you to destruction. That's what these wolves do. That's what they do. And this is why we pastors cannot be asleep on the job. God forbid. God forbid. So now today, Paul says this. He says, offenses, scandalon, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. There are three things we want to consider here in this portion of the text. We want to look at the word contrary. We want to talk about the word doctrine. And we want to talk about the word learned. Contrary, doctrine, learned. The word contrary in Greek is a word that is used to describe a person going in the opposite direction than what they should be going. God says, your way is up, and the devil will have you going down. God says, you're on your way up to heaven, and Satan would have you turned around, going down into the depths of hell. You see how hell is contrary to heaven. Heaven is up, hell is down. And so this word contrary, when you think of the word contrary, just think of how these false teachers, their role is to get you to go in the opposite direction of where God would have you to go. God wants you going up, Satan wants you going down. If the emissaries of Satan, they will sweet talk you. They will bait the trap and just keep luring you downward. This is what they do. This is what they do. Let me give you an example of this. Turn to the book of Proverbs. Go with me to Proverbs. Proverbs. And you want to go to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. I'm sorry, Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7, verse 24. Proverbs 7, 24. Now, this is Solomon giving the young man advice. What is the advice? Avoid the harlot. Avoid the woman who operates in the red light district. Avoid Delilahs at all costs. Avoid, you know, when we think of the harlot, we talk about Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. Avoid the Catholic Church. She's the mother of harlots, says Revelation 17. But here Solomon is referring to a genuine harlot, a real harlot, a harlot of flesh and blood. So we want to pick it up in verse 24. Solomon says to the young man, "Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways." Look at the word decline. Remember, the way of the believer is upward. The way of the pilgrim, the spiritual pilgrim, is from earth to heaven. But the harlot, she will have you take steps that decline. So again, let not thy heart decline to her ways. She has a path. Go not astray in her paths. Verse 26, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Who's one of those men? Samson. Verse 27, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. This is why every man should have a wife, a godly wife, a godly woman, who along with her husband are walking towards heaven. They're going upwards. The prostitute will lead the young man down to hell, leading him to the chambers, the prison cells of death, down. So when you look at Romans 16, Paul says, listen, these false teachers, they're very good at getting you to go in the opposite direction. Contrary. Listen. You're going the wrong way. You're going to the contrary to what God has told you in his word. You're headed for trouble. You're headed for your demise and downfall. You're headed for death. You're headed for the grave. You're headed for hell. I beseech you, brethren, mark those, keep an eye on those who do what? Who divide us, and also those who set traps, because their goal is to take us in the opposite direction of the doctrine. The word doctrine here is didache. Didache in the New Testament refers exclusively to the teachings of Jesus. Notice, Paul says, listen, these people, these slick preachers, these slick wolves, and they're both male and female, these slick satanic operators, they come and they would have you go in the opposite way of what Jesus taught you. These are the teachings of Jesus. They would have you do the opposite of what Jesus would have you to do. Doctrine. This word doctrine, didache, these doctrines are not the doctrines of the apostles. No, they're the doctrines of the good shepherd. They're the doctrines of the great shepherd. They're the doctrines of the chief shepherd. Remember, Jesus is the good shepherd, he's the great shepherd, and he is the chief shepherd. Those are his three titles. Jesus as shepherd is unrivaled. Perhaps you won't listen to me. Perhaps you'll ignore some of the things that I say. But shame on you if you reject the teachings, the doctrines, the didache of the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, and the great shepherd, because then your soul will be in of eternal damnation. They're teaching you, Paul says, listen, they're not teaching you contrary to things that I've taught you or things that Peter or James or John have taught you. No, they're teaching you things, or they would have you go contrary to the teachings of the very Savior, very Jesus. They would have you contrary to the doctrines that you have learned. Now, who taught these doctrines? Was it did Jesus go to Rome and teach these doctrines to the Roman saints? No. Remember Ephesians 4:11. If you may want to write down the scripture, Ephesians 4:11. It says, "And he," referring to Christ, "gave to the church." He gave to the church some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. For what? For the building up of the body of Christ. The Roman saints got the teachings of Jesus from Paul and from the other apostles. You have learned them from the men, from the ministers whom Jesus handpicked himself. You have learned them. Now, there's four stages to learning. This word learned has four stages. First of all, you came to class. Stage one, you have to attend class. You got to come to class. No one who doesn't attend class earns a grade. First of all, you came to class. Stage one. Stage two, you received teaching. So you came to class, you walked into the classroom, you took your seat, then the professor, the teacher, the instructor, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher stood up and gave you learning that you received. So first, you came. Second, you received. Thirdly, you understood. You understood. Why? Because the Holy Spirit gave you understanding. The Holy Spirit gave you illumination. The Holy Spirit made it click in your head. So one, you came. Secondly, you received. Thirdly, you understood. And then once you left the classroom, once you left the four walls of the church, then number four is you lived. You lived the way Jesus would have you to live. So these wolves, these false teachers, and they come in many stripes and in many colors. They would have you go in the opposite direction of God. God would have you go to heaven. They would lead you to hell. They hate the teachings of Jesus, who is the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, and the great shepherd. And they would have you undo all the learning that you did, which was what? You went to church. You received from that person that was ministering in the pulpit. Then you understood because the Holy Spirit gave you understanding. And then when you left the church, you actually lived a life that was pleasing to God. You were actually salt to the earth, and you were a light to the world. You were a true Christian. These false teachers would undo all of that if you let them. If you let them. Now, my brothers and sisters, whenever a church is on the move, I would make the argument yet again, whenever a church is on the move or God is doing something, Satan also shows up. I was out today with Sister Linda. We were going to the other streets that we had not been to last week, and we were putting stuff in the mailboxes again. And when that's called sowing, you're sowing. Well, when you sow, the Bible says when you sow the word into someone's heart, when you actually talk to someone and talk to them about the Lord, and you're putting God's word in their heart, the Bible also says that the enemy, Satan, soon after comes and snatches that word out of their hearts. That's what Satan does. So you put it in, Satan takes it out. You put it in 5 minutes ago, Satan comes 5 minutes after you and he takes it out. That's the ongoing battle. You build a church, Satan soon shows up to do what? To destroy it. The Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian elders, I was among you for 3 years, and I built up this congregation so much so that look at all the pastors that are here. It takes a lot of pastors to pastor this church. This church started out with me. God took me to Ephesus. I founded the church, and the church began to grow exponentially. And in my departure, look at all of you pastors. In 3 years of work, in which I worked night and day, this congregation has grown so much so that it requires a multiplicity of shepherds. But Paul says, but you keep your eyes peeled, because after my departure, savage wolves are coming, and they will not spare the flock. They will decimate. In other words, Paul says, whatever I've done in 3 years, they'll wreck it in a week. All my blood, sweat, and tears of 3 years, these wolves will destroy in a week. So keep your eyes peeled. Do what you need to do. So let me invite you to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew. Here's one of the parables of Jesus, the parable of the wheat and the tares. Matthew 13:24. Let's look at Matthew 13:24 in case you need additional information as to when we do something, how it's like a chess game. You move your piece on the board, you move your chess piece, and Satan also has a counter move. You move, and 2 minutes later, he's moving his piece. Matthew 13:24, another parable put Jesus forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. But while he slept, enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So notice, the man sowed in the morning and the enemy came at night. And listen, during the daytime, the man was sowing good seed. And he worked hard that day, so hard. He was so tired. He was so tuckered out. He went to sleep. And while he slept, the same day, his enemy came at night. Not next week, not next month, not next year. No, the same day. You do something, Satan has a counter move the same day. We were out this morning doing this afternoon. Trust me, Satan will be counter attacking what we did today. That's just the way it is. That's what ministry is. Verse 26. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there also tares. So the servants, which are the ministers, of the householder, which is Jesus, came and said unto him, sir, did we not sow good seed in the field? And why do we have all these tares? Verse 28, and he said unto them, an enemy have done this. The servants said unto him, will thou then go up and gather them up now? And he said, nay, lest while we gather up the tares, you also root up the wheat that is with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, and gather the wheat into my barns. Well, if you want an interpretation of this, let's jump down to verse 37. And Jesus answered his disciples and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is me, the Son of Man. I'm the one who sows the good seed. Verse 38, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned into the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and all them which do iniquity. And they shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who have an ear, let him hear. You see, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is sowing good seed, and the devil is sowing bad seed. That's the fight. That's the ongoing struggle. And this is why we have such a magnificent letter in Romans. From Romans chapter 1 all the way to chapter 16, verse 16, we have a magnificent letter. And now at the end, we have a change of tone. Why? Because Jesus and his ministers are sowing good seed, and Satan is bound to counter that by sending forth those wicked people who bring disunity, and they bring division and offenses in the church. So we need to be ready. And remember, they would have you go contrary to the teachings of Jesus, which you have learned from those faithful ministers of the gospel who did not hold from you counsel of God. I hope you were blessed today. We got one more study tomorrow. And the last portion of the text that we're going to be looking at is that little phrase that says, and avoid them. Avoid them. Avoid them. That's tomorrow. God bless you, saints. Look forward to seeing you all tomorrow in the Lord's house. And until then, may the Lord richly, richly bless you.
Great God.